right, well, good evening, guys. Before I start, I was listening to the podcast. What was it, last week?
Yeah.
And he talked about Comcast, right, where he had to go through the line, and then something bad about that. If you guys don't know, I do work for Comcast. I'm actually a manager at Comcast, and so when he said that...
It was not personal.
Yeah, well, it took a pair personal, so just letting you know. So if you guys don't know, so I do, I'm a manager at Comcast, so I will be cutting off his cable next week. Just giving you guys a heads up now. Jesus is greater than religion. Why is he so much better than trying harder, doing more, and being good enough by Jefferson Bethke? If you guys have not read this book, I highly, highly recommend it. This is one of the books that have gotten me through a lot of stuff when I was going through a lot of stuff. So if you've not read it, please, please, please do so. You guys have all heard of the prodigal son, yes? If there was a dictionary with the prodigal son, I would be in it. I have done more stuff that I don't want to talk about, but I will, than most people have in their entire lifetime. When I talk about the bad stuff, I'm talking about alcohol, drugs, going to jail, should have been in prison for 6 years, but I wasn't, and all coming back full circle of what I've done. Have you guys ever heard of Columbine High School? You guys remember what happened there? So I actually went there. I graduated the year it happened. By the grace of God, but at the time I didn't really care. My dad got transferred to Florida 6 months before it happened. I was a senior. And he told me that I could finish my high school year or my senior year there or go with him and I get a car. I was 17 at the time. What do you think I chose? I wanted a car. Of course, he didn't tell me it was a piece of crap at the time, but, you know, whatever. So I went to Florida, and at this time, I was very separate from God. Me and him were not seeing eye to eye. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to live it. So the day that it happened, I came home from school, and my mom was looking in the TV, and she was crying. So I said, "Mom, what's going on?" I looked, and lo and behold, two of my friends at the time were in the school with guns, and they were shooting everybody. One of the people that were shot and died was a good friend of mine named Rachel Scott. She was a very religious person, and she knew she was going to die that year from her diary. So it kind of freaked me out. Still didn't care. Still didn't think it was a divine thing that God took me out of at the time. So about a week later, a federal agent came down to Florida looking for me. When he showed me the badge, I was like, "I didn't do it. I swear, wasn't me." He wanted to know why I was on the list of people that they wanted to kill. I was number 3. Did not know. I went back up there and moved. I was 18. I went back up there and moved out on my own. Went back to the school, and they allowed all the students to visit the school. And I saw all the bloody things all around, saw all the holes, and it still didn't strike me as odd. I decided to tell my parents I wasn't coming back, and I lived on the street for 2 weeks. Many things could happen. I stole from friends. I pawned stuff off. I didn't care. During this time, I decided to do drugs and alcohol, just to kind of be on my own, right? To think that I could do whatever I wanted to because God didn't care about me. At that time, I decided I wanted to move back to Florida because, well, I can't survive on my own. I need mommy and daddy's money. So I moved back in, and at this time I was like, you know what? I think I want to get into the occult. So I started getting a Ouija board. I bought a Ouija board, actually, from Toys R Us. The glow-in-the-dark kind, right? And if you think that those don't work, I'm here to tell you, they do. It worked. I opened something that I probably shouldn't have opened, and I'm telling you right now, it stayed with me until I was 29 years old. I peered into the spiritual side of things, and something peered back. And I kept going on it because I wanted to see if Satan really existed. He does. If you don't think that Satan doesn't exist, it's okay. He believes in you, I promise. Then I started getting into the real different stuff, the demonology, angelology, all that kind of stuff, because I wanted to know. Still didn't care about God. Still didn't think God cared about me. Then I met my wife at 19. She was 16. She was my boss at Walmart. Oh, bad. Right? She could have fired me, but she didn't. She's my rock. We're still together today. We've been married for 14 years, been together for 18. If it wasn't for her, I would probably be out in the street saying, we'll work for food. I can't do anything, trust me. When you guys get married, you'll understand guys are stupid. Just the way it works. So we got married. We had a kid, my daughter, who's 8 years old. Love her to death, and I will do anything for them. That's when I started kind of getting back towards religion. Now, that book, wherever it was, I hate the term religion. I don't like it because I don't think God likes it either, right? There's a difference between religion and relationship. Do we all agree on that? Yeah? So something started kind of changing in me. My wife started showing me, hey, there's a difference. Don't go with the bad stuff, go with the good stuff. I said, God's never been there for me. Ever. Which is kind of funny. 2012, this is how screwed up my life is. I had a stroke, right? I was at work and I couldn't breathe. Went to the hospital, and then all of a sudden, that's when everything on my left side just kind of went like this, drooping everything. I couldn't speak, I couldn't walk, I couldn't grasp anything, I couldn't remember who my wife or my daughter was. So I had to do physical therapy, and for that whole year, everything changed. I wasn't my lucky-go-lucky guy anymore. I still hated God because it changed everything. Apparently, I didn't think God was still with me. My wife, on the other hand, thought that it was a miracle because I'm now back 100%. Still didn't care. Then I wanted to start going to church. So I started going to a Baptist church. And slowly but surely, I started seeing that maybe she's right. Maybe God is everywhere. So I started kind of feeling what's going about and what's different from me compared to everybody else. And slowly but surely, everything started to change. I wasn't angry at God. I thought that he maybe started to care. Then all of a sudden, in an instant, 4 months ago, I found out I had a brain tumor. And that's when everything changed. I started hearing, not necessarily hearing, but kind of in the back of the head, you know, where you guys kind of get that little voice saying, I've been here the whole time. You maybe not have saw it, but I've been here the whole time. I've been trying to tell you since the first time that you can't do anything on your own. And I've been trying to show you different things through your stroke, through all that stuff when you wanted to go look at the different spiritual things, that I've been here, and all you had to say was help me. So when they told me that I had a brain tumor, my wife, of course, was freaking out. And I was at the hospital, and I felt this real strong calmness. So they said, we got to operate on you right now, and you have a chance of dying. I said, which is weird, I'm like, okay, whatever, it don't matter. So they operated on me. They had to cut me right through here and then go through my nose, which, by the way, I got a free rhinoplasty out of it, which is awesome. I can breathe really good right now. Okay? So they get that. They had to put these real big, thick plastic pieces in my nose, and I couldn't breathe for 2 weeks up my nose. The 2 weeks after the surgery was the worst pain I've ever felt in my whole entire life. It was a constant migraine every 2 hours. Couldn't sleep, couldn't lay down, couldn't sit up. I really wanted to just end it. But God's like, I'm right here. I'm showing you what's going to have to happen. You're literally going to have to die to yourself and be in me for everything for this to work. Because before that, I was working 80 hours a week at Comcast, stressing about everything, about money, car, house, paying the bills, what people think of me, everything. As soon as they took that out, everything changed. Everything changed. I have not had a headache at all since that took it out, and I've had a headache every day for 5 years. Every single day. Not only did that change, my whole attitude, my whole relationship with God, my relationship with people, completely changed. I am no longer stressed about anything. If I die tomorrow, then I die tomorrow. Suck for my wife and daughter, but it's okay. I don't care about the bills. Now, let me rephrase that. You guys still have to pay your bills, okay? God is not going to pay your bills, but you don't have to worry about it, right? Once you get that deep relationship with God, everything changes. That's the whole point. That book, if you ever read it, is exactly what it is. There's a difference between religion and there's a difference between church. Church is a must. You have to have that community. Religion is not. I've talked to Ryan about this many, many times. And Bob, I actually have a class now here at Sunday school that I call the Prodigals. And I'm surprised that they still let me have the class, by the way. I'm a very outspoken individual, if you haven't already guessed. I am not a traditionalist at all after the stuff that I've been through. But God's taught me that he's been here my whole life. Okay? The whole time I've been born, he's known every single one of you. The whole purpose of what we take for granted, right? We worry about the little mundane stuff. If we're going to get to the right college, if we're going to graduate with the right major, if we're going to have the right house, if we're going to have the right spouse, if we're going to have the right car, if people are going to like us, none of that matters. None of it does. It does not matter what kind of house you have. If you have 2.5 kids, I don't know how they get the 0.5, but it doesn't matter, right? That's what we worry about every single day. Why? What's the point? God says that the only thing that you have to worry about is having a relationship with me. That's it. And we worry about the mundane crap that we always have to worry about. Why? I learned just 4 months ago. I'm so much better for it. I go to work with a smile on my face because if they fire me tomorrow, it's just a job. God's right there with me the whole entire time. Everything has a plan. He knew that I was going to get a brain tumor before I was even born. He didn't force me. He didn't do it, but he knew I was going to get it. He knew that it was going to go for good once I got it. So we have to stop worrying about what's going to happen or the mundane stuff, like you said. If you get a flat tire, I've seen people that get flat tires, they're crazy, right? You see even the old women, they get a flat tire, they're just freaking throwing stuff all left and right. Why? Right? Or you don't pay a bill. So when I got out of the hospital, and I just got this bill last week, they're charging me $95,000 because they said it wasn't medically necessary that I had a brain tumor. My wife opened the bill, of course, and she just went ballistic. I laughed and laughed and laughed because I thought it was hilarious. Because I'm like, I'm not paying it. I'm not paying it. But we have to look at everything from a different perspective, right? That's the whole point. If you don't get that job that you were looking for, maybe God didn't want you to have that job. If you didn't get that class that you wanted, maybe God didn't want you to have that class. Everything that happens for a reason, right? The funny thing is I've seen some really bad stuff when I was a kid and growing up. And I look back at it now and I'm like, you know, if I would have just looked at it differently, everything would have been so much easier for me. But at the same time, I had to go through it and look at it now to teach people better. Hey, don't worry about it now. It's not that big of a deal. And so I think that's what we have to learn, especially going through really hard times. But if somebody, let's say that somebody's child dies from a car wreck, you can't say, well, don't worry, God had a plan. You can't tell them that at that specific time. You have to give them comfort. But you have to just let them know that we're here for you and we'll pray for you. But say, oh, don't worry, God said it was going to happen. That's going to piss somebody off. Just saying. You know, so we got to just make sure that we have a different perspective. Now, I can't tell you that today you're going to walk out there and be like, everything's lollipop and rainbows. It's not. This world sucks sometimes. You're going to have those days. You're going to have those weeks. You're going to have those months when everything just falls apart. It just all depends on how you look at things. Right? And that's it. That's all I got. Everything's great now for me. So just see what you guys can do. Pray about it. God's here. It's all that matters. And he's always going to be here.
It's a good word, Ryan. Let's give it up for this Ryan real quick. Little word. So a couple of questions. And then, first of all, good reminder just that in all the things that we go through, number one, it may not be a good step to theologize someone too quick when they're going through, is this me? Yeah. When they're going through rough stuff, when things get dark, it may not be the best step to immediately say, well, if you'll open to Job chapter 2, you know what I mean? Right. It may be good to comfort them first. Be there for the person first. If you notice in Job, in the first two chapters, and then in chapter 3, his friends come to him, right? And they don't say anything for a week. And it's after that week that Job then starts to open up, right? And then Job's friends open their mouths and everything goes terribly for like 38 chapters. So the best thing that Job's friends did for him was sit with him for a week and not say anything. And not that you're supposed to go to your friends and just look at them, right? Thank you, Lauren. That, like, not that that's what we're saying, but to be there for them in comfort. And then secondly, the thing that I took away, Ryan, is we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and it's so good that you said it like this. It's not that the things in your life aren't important. It's not that a brain tumor is not important or that a bill is not important or that a job is not important. But as a Christian, and maybe some of you aren't believers, and that's okay. This is where you learn. But as a Christian, you can begin every day knowing that the most important thing on your to-do list is already done.
Right.
Does that make sense? And when we think about it like that, that changes things. Because we have so many things to do. And we have so many things that take up space in our hearts, and that's okay. But to understand that the most important thing in your life is your relationship with God, and that has been taken care of by Christ and his sacrifice, you can begin every day, no matter where you are in life. We were talking earlier just about how, you know, in college you're not an adult, but you are an adult. It's this weird limbo, and that only gets more confusing as you get older. What am I supposed to do? Every day, no matter what your life circumstance, you can begin that day knowing that the most important thing on your list has been taken care of. So just a couple questions, Ryan. So in, you know, you have kind of hit like the all-star team in terms of, wow, that really sucks, yeah. If that makes sense.
I've been through everything.
Yeah, so in these things, if just in a couple sentences, what has God's faithfulness, you know, you said you realized, you know, God's been with you the whole time.
Yeah.
In all the things that you've been going through, what is it about God's faithfulness that meant the most to you during that time, during that whole season of life?
It's just that means I've never been alone, you know? So it means that now I can look back and tell people now, I mean, you may think that you're alone. You may think that God's punishing you.
No.
He's not. He may be refining you to make you stronger and make you more courageous or make you to teach you maybe a lesson or teach somebody else a lesson. You may have to go through that to make you stronger or make you more courageous for the next stage of your life.
Yeah.
And you have to get ready for it. Mm. So it's kind of bittersweet, and it helps a lot, you know? So now I'm ready for anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
That's a good word. Bittersweet is a good word there. It's not that, you know, like when you're a Christian, it's not that like you hear the song, like you hear Oceans in the background every day, and like Reckless, like when you wake up, it's like that piano riff from Reckless Love just hits, you know. That's not Christianity. Bittersweet is a good word. It's this idea of, you know, it's not that you're always going to be delivered from the bad stuff, but it's this idea that you're not going to be alone in the bad stuff. There's a guy at Shorter that I was talking to earlier in the week, who he's been training to be a football player his entire life, and he's finally beginning to realize that he just doesn't have the stuff to go into the pros. And he was talking about how, I have spent my whole life gearing up for this. And you know how, like in college, maybe you've spent 3 years majoring in this, and then you realize, this isn't for me. And so now the whole rug has just come undone. And it's like, what am I supposed to do now? And one of the things that I was talking to him about was like what you said. You know, it's one thing for Pastor, right? For Pastor Ryan to come up to you and, hey, the Lord's going to be with you. He's got a plan, you know, and I quote the Bible, which is good. You need that. But to have this Ryan who's been through it come up to you and say, hey, this is what I went through and God was with me.
Right.
You see the weight that carries? Does that make sense? And when you go through suffering in your life, part of it is he's given you that chip on your shoulder so that when you meet someone with a chip on their shoulder, they're actually going to listen to you. Does that make sense? So when God puts, think about this, when God puts you through suffering, he's actually building up the body of Christ. Yeah. Because they're going to listen to your advice.
Right.
Because you've been through it, and that's going to help build that up. So when you go through suffering as a Christian, the Lord is actually building up the body of Christ. Last question, Ryan. In all the things that you've been through, and there may not be an exact moment, and that's okay, but if there is, I definitely want to hear it. In all the things that you've been through, you know, narrowly avoiding the shooting, the brain tumor, the stroke, the stress of the mundane that we talked about, what is the area of your life, or what is the moment where you felt, maybe you felt the closest to the Lord in all these things?
I think the moment that I felt the closest to the Lord was right after the brain tumor, right?
Okay.
Because I finally realized to let go of myself. Hmm. Right, finally, after 37 years
of
holding on to that and holding on to the world and having, you know, one hand grasped to the world and one hand grasped to the Lord and kind of going like this for 37 years and then finally just letting go.
Yeah.
And I can't really tell you the feeling, but it's the weirdest thing, right? Mm. You know, John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Right.
I can't tell you how it is. Right. But it's the weirdest experience. It's the weirdest feeling because now everything's off my shoulders.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, all the whole world and the weight and all the pain and the stress and everything is just completely gone. And I feel such a more deep connection with God and everything like that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, stuff like that. And you hear Joel Osteen all the time, right? Like, God wants you to be rich and God wants you to be happy. Don't ever listen to that crap because it's not true, right? God says that people are going to hate you. I've lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of family and I lost a lot of people. And I say, look, man, there's days that are going to suck. And you got to get used to it because it's not the way it is. So.
Yeah. No, I think and one of the things, so this is cool because you haven't even said it like this, but you're just teaching by what you're saying. So 37, right? One of the things that's encouraging is to remember this. Christianity, a lot of times, is a process.
Yeah.
There are times where it's a, you know, and praise God for it. But there are other times, like even my dad. My dad became a Christian over one summer in his over the course. And like 37 years walking this out, learning how this works. Don't be discouraged if it's this idea of you're in a season of, you just feel like, you know, you get out of bed and you're just on your face. Mm-hmm. And like that happens over and over. Not that any of you guys feel like that, right? But over and over and over. Christianity is a process. This takes time. It's a process to walk out of pornography. It's a process to climb out of feeling hopeless because you don't have the job you want. It's a process climbing out of depression. It's a process. It takes time. And then also this, it's Jonah. It really, right? This idea of you've been literally, the dude was eaten by a fish, right? And in that brain tumor, that fish, that brain tumor of this is it, that's Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2 is an entire prayer from the belly of an ant, from death, right? Sometimes when it feels like God is killing us, literally, it's when he's saving us.
Yeah.
That's this incredible flipped on your head Christianity. That's what the Word of God does. Ryan, thank you, man.
Yeah, man.
This has been awesome. Yeah. Really appreciate your time. I'm sure Ryan will be sticking around if you guys want to chat afterwards, or or talk shop, obviously we're going to bleep out sucking crap. I'm just kidding. that would be, I think that would be hilarious.
I don't, though. So it's all right. So.
No, I thought that was awesome. But that would be funny. But anyway, so, but just a good way to, just to kind of end our series from hearing from someone that is actually kind of, hey, don't just take it from pastor me or whatever. Listen to someone who's been through it. He really is with us in our suffering. Job is based on a real thing, right? Job is a real story, and it's happening all over the place, and Christ is just as real. So let me pray as the band comes back up, and we take our leave from the stage, and we'll worship together.